your first time at Monroe, welcome to you. We get really excited about our prize at Monroe. We have a lot of fun with it, so you came on a very good Sunday if it's your first time. We're so glad that you're here. One of the things that we do during our prize is we interview one of the artists that's displaying their work here in our space, and we talk with them, and we learn about who they are, and a little bit about their art. Then we also learn about what their art says about our Creator God and the earth. We call it Meet the Artist series. We meet the artist, small a. We learn about what their piece, what their work tells us about our Creator God, the big A. So we're going to start with Erin because she begins with A. How about that? No, that's not a real reason. But Erin is here. So would you please help welcome Erin to Monroe Community Church? So glad that you are here, Erin. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Anything you want to tell us? And tell us a little bit about when you became an artist. Yeah. Yeah, hold it right to your mouth. We'll turn it up.
My name is Erin Bogan, and I am here from New Hampshire. I'm here with my husband and my 3.5-month-old son. And my parents are here as well. They're from Maryland. My brother's from D.C. And I have an aunt and uncle here.
Oh, man.
From...
Welcome,
Pleasant,
welcome.
I think.
All right.
Michigan.
How about
so,
that?
Yeah. Got a big crew with me. Let's see. I think I've probably always been somewhat of an artist. When I was little, I was always a mess, always playing in something and drawing or coloring or painting. And I think when I got into high school, I started to hone in a little more on my artistic pursuits and decided in college that's what I wanted to study, and I studied at Houghton College in Western New York, small Christian school, and I wanted to go in studying painting and charcoal drawing, and I had to take multiple art courses. I thought, I'll try ceramics. It looks like fun, and I hated it. It was the worst class I ever took.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe I was that bad at it, so I kept taking more classes, thinking eventually this will click. And my second class was just as bad. And so by my third class, something clicked, and I started to love it. And that's what I made my full study on in college, was ceramics. Okay. So it was a love-hate battle for a while.
Okay. But love won out?
So love won out.
All right. Good. Do you do any other types of art, or have you just made the move all the way to ceramics now?
I pretty much just do ceramics.
Okay.
I still dabble in drawing and painting for fun now.
Okay. All right. Erin's piece is over here on the wall. Yes. The Jeremiah tree. Tell us a little bit about it, and like just the materials and like how you made it. Like what goes into making something like that?
Well, it's all clay.
Made up. Okay.
It's all clay. The plates represent a river. Those were all thrown on the wheel. The trunk part were cylinders thrown on the wheel that I cut in half and added clay to make it look like bark. And then the leaves are rolled out clay and they're all hand cut. And I mixed my own glazes. It's called crystalline glazing. If you look up close, there's little crystals that actually grow in the glaze while it's firing. Some people think I stick them on. I don't do that.
Okay.
they grow in. I have no control how they're going to grow.
Okay.
So.
All right. Very nice. You entitled it Jeremiah Tree.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to that title? Why did you name it that?
Well, I guess it was about a year ago that I actually learned of Art Prize from my aunt and uncle. And I thought, maybe I'll go for it. I'll try it. And so I often sketch just trees. I really enjoy drawing trees, so I thought maybe I'll do something to do with a tree. And at that time, I had recently done a Bible study on trusting in the Lord, and so the passage in Jeremiah 17 came to mind. It's 7-8. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." And that just stuck out in my mind, and I thought, maybe I'll interpret that in clay. And so that's what I came up with.
What do you hope people who come to see your piece will experience when they view it and or take away with them?
I guess first I'd want people just to take in the detail. Crystalline glazing is a pretty interesting process. So it's fun to take in the crystals and look at those. I guess just the detail. I had a lot of fun making it and a lot of hardship. So I guess just visually I'd want people to remember it. And it became a very personal piece to me as I was making it. I found out that I was pregnant in the fall of last year, and we were having complications early on, and our first full sonogram, we had to go in for multiple follow-ups, and the doctor kept saying, something looks wrong, and it was a number of things that it looked like was affecting our baby, and it was just out of our control. There's nothing we could do. And my husband and I just really clung to that verse. We kept thinking, we just need to trust in the Lord, and He's gonna work it out. Whether our baby has a problem or not, it's gonna work out because He gave us this baby. So we just really clung to that verse, and it became a much more personal piece to me. So I don't know if that would help anybody who looks at the piece, but that was the turn it took for me.
What else would you like to tell us this morning? Anything?
Well, thanks for having me. This is really fun. This is a really neat church, and it's my first time in Grand Rapids, so this is exciting, and I'm really grateful to be here, and it's awesome to see all this artwork in here. A lot of talented people.
Thanks so much for being here, Erin.
Thank you.
For sharing. You betcha. Thank you. If you'd like to talk to Erin a little bit more after the service, she'll be around. Please do so, okay? Would you pray with me? Father, as we turn our attention to your word to us this morning, it's my prayer that you would just speak to us through your Spirit, speak to us through your word, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Lord, change us, mold us, shape us, encourage us, challenge us. Convict us, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's in Jeremiah 17, beginning at verse 5. Here Jeremiah writes, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when He comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." People of God, take a look at the picture up on the screen. This tree that you see is the tree in my backyard. Last fall, I transplanted this tree to this location. Before I moved this tree, it was much closer to our house. Too close, actually. It was growing so fast that very soon it was going to start doing some damage to the foundation and to the siding. Therefore, it had to be moved. When I dug up the tree to move it, I did my best to dig a wide circle around it in order to gather up as many of the roots as possible. Why do you think that I did this? Anybody know? What's that? That's exactly right, Mike. Exactly right. So I wouldn't kill it, right? I wanted to stay alive, but I wanted to move it. If any of you know anything about trees, right, the health of the tree is determined by its roots. The health of a tree, right, and the parts that we can see, its leaves, its branches, and its trunk, right, all these things are determined by the health of its roots, the parts that we cannot see. If the roots of the tree are not healthy and able to find water and nutrients in the soil, the health and the strength and the vitality of that tree will be cursed or doomed to destruction. It will begin to look like the tree that I transplanted. Do you notice that? It's kind of a half Charlie Brown tree and half I'm going to make it tree, right? It's the jury is still out about that. We're going to wait and see. We're going to give it one more year before we may transplant it somewhere else, like the compost pile. In our text for today, the prophet Jeremiah says that what is true for trees is also true for you and me. Our health and our well-being, just like a tree, is determined by our roots, the place from where we draw our strength. In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah, one of God's prophets, one of God's mouthpieces, one of God's appointed spokespersons, is communicating the word of the Lord to the people of God that were living in the kingdom of Judah. God's people in Judah had turned away from their God. Therefore, God sent him Jeremiah. God sent a prophet to them to call them back. And in talking to the people of Judah, and to us who are sitting here this morning, Jeremiah says this. He says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Cursed, Jeremiah says. Cursed in the sense of doomed. Doomed to destruction. Doomed is the one who trusts in man, Jeremiah says, who draws strength from mere flesh. And flesh in this context means choosing the things of man or of humanity over against the things of God. Doomed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength by choosing the things of man over the things of God. What are some things of man that you and I can draw strength from over and against God? Money. Television. Health. Fame. Education. Anybody else? What are some of the things that you and I can draw strength from that are over against God? Power. Personal appearance, beauty, the way you look. Defense spending. Okay. Why are you laughing? You could put your strength in an aircraft carrier, couldn't you? Some people do, don't they? It's kind of funny, but it's not, right? Anybody else? What could you put your strength in? Okay, you can follow a certain personality. Say that again. Government. Okay. Trust the government. Okay. Doomed, Jeremiah says, is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength by choosing the things of man over against God, and whose heart turns away from God. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But Jeremiah goes on to say, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Doomed is the one who puts their trust in man. They will be like a bush in the wasteland. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water. Jeremiah says in his message from God to the people of Judah, there are two types of trees that represent two types of people. On the one side, a tree that is cursed. On the other side, a tree that is blessed. On the one side, a tree that is parched. On the other side, a tree that is healthy. On the one side, a tree that is vulnerable. On the other side, a tree that's secure. On the one side, a tree that is worried and anxious. On the other side, a tree that is confident. Jeremiah says there are two types of trees that are shaped and determined by their roots. Jeremiah says there are two types of people that are shaped and determined by their roots. One tree, right, the cursed or the doomed one, has roots that trust in man or in themselves, that depend on their own ways for strength, identity, and purpose. The other tree, the blessed tree, has its roots that trust in God, that place their confidence in Him, that reach out and drink from His water. And what is the water that Jeremiah is talking about in verse 8? It says, right, those roots go out for the water. The answer is found in verse 13 of Jeremiah 17, where it says this, Lord, You are the hope of Israel. You are the spring of living water. Lord, You are the hope of Israel, the spring of living water. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The psalmist says the water is the Lord and His instruction to us. In John 4, when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, He says to her, everyone who drinks of this water, that is the water that comes from the well, Jesus says, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What is the living water in all these contexts? It's the teaching. It's the law. It's the instruction. It's the words. Right? The words of our Lord. It's the words of our Savior. It's our God. Right? It's our Redeemer. That is the living water. That is the living water that our roots need to go to. The water is the truth that God gives to us. The water is the Lord God Himself and His words to us. The words of the Lord is the water that brings life and fruit and prosperity to our life. The words of the Lord and our relationship with Him prevent us from withering and dying. The words of the Lord enable us to be confident when the heat comes, and when the drought comes, and when the fire comes. The words of the Lord are what bring us life, even in difficult times. Right? They bring us eternal life. Why? Because when the roots of our hearts are attached to the words of the Lord, they remind us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. They remind us that redemption and salvation do not come in and through perishable things such as gold or silver, or a person's ability, some of the things that we named off earlier. Right? No, the words of the Lord remind us that redemption and salvation come from God and through the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? The words of the Lord remind us that God is the one who gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Right? The words of the Lord remind us that our God, right, in God, we live and we move and we have our being. Not in other things, but in Him. This past week I was reminded about the contrast that the prophet Jeremiah highlights for us in these verses when I was driving down Lake Michigan Drive near Allendale. Just a few miles east of Allendale, I saw these billboards on the side of the road. Two things crossed my mind when I saw these signs. The first thing that crossed my mind was that the things of this world and the ways of this world can change on us at any time. I was reminded that just because the trees have produced apples and the apple business has been good for 25 years in a row, this doesn't mean that this year is going to be the same, does it? Because this is true, you start to know where the roots of our hearts are seeking life and vitality. If they are seeking life and vitality in the apple harvest, then the roots of our heart are going to be in trouble. Because the apple harvest isn't coming this year. The things of this world and the ways of mankind are fickle and unpredictable. They're always changing. They're always changing. That was the first thing that I was reminded of when I saw those signs. The second thing that crossed my mind was this: how a person handles and responds to such a situation, in this case, no apple harvest, right, depends on the health, vitality, and position of the roots of their heart and their soul. As I drove past, I thought to myself, what in the world would I do if that was my business? What would I do? How would I react to such a situation? How would you react if that was your business? I don't think too many of us here are in the apple business. We have other things that come in our lives, right? Aaron talked about a word from the doctor that says it doesn't look good. Right? How do we react to a message like that? And when we go to the doctor and they say, oh, it doesn't look good, right? How do we react? When we go into work and they say it doesn't look good, how do we react? Only a tree whose roots are strong and healthy, right, whose roots are connected to a source of living water and nutrients, can survive fire, can survive drought, can survive storm. Periods of testing and trial expose the location and the health of those roots like nothing else will. The storms, the droughts, the fires of our life, they're going to test. They're going to test those roots of our hearts. They're going to expose them for what they are. Prophet Jeremiah ends this section with a warning to us. Jeremiah says this in verse 9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? When it comes to the roots of our hearts, Jeremiah says, we and our hearts within us most often do a good job of deceiving ourselves. Right, of believing that our roots are strong and secure and connected to the right thing, even if in reality, the opposite is true. Therefore, Jeremiah says, we need help. We need the Lord's help in examining those roots. We need the Lord to show us and teach us and reveal to us if there is a place where we have turned away from Him. If there's a place where our roots are going into the things of man instead of to the things of God. We need the Lord to show us and teach us if and where the roots of our hearts are trying to draw strength and vitality from something or someone else besides Him. So to begin our response time this morning, right, to God's warning, we're going to begin by doing just that. We're going to call on our God together in prayer and ask Him for help this morning. Help to examine, to take a look within, to examine the roots of our hearts and to reveal to us what is going on in there.